Hello, this is Dr. Dugleen Jackson, your host for Therapy Entrepreneurs and Leaders of Color, a podcast dedicated to supporting therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color in their roles around the world. Today's guest is Patrice Maynard, and I'm going to read her bio, and then we'll move into our interview. Patrice Maynard is the founder and owner of Maynard Milestones. She received her Bachelor's of Science degree and Master's degree in Occupational Therapy from Quinnipiac University in Hamden, Connecticut. She's currently a post-professional doctoral candidate in occupational therapy at that university, and she'll be finishing her degree this year in 2023. Patrice is a board-certified occupational therapist, licensed to practice in New Jersey and New York. She has a background in skilled nursing, geriatrics, subacute, and long-term care settings. Aside from those areas, she's currently practicing as a pediatric occupational therapist for over 4 years in the early intervention setting as an independent contractor. Her mission is to ensure she's not only treating the child, but also making the family aware of taking care of themselves and incorporating wellness in all areas. So I'm going to pitch it over to Patrice. Thank you for being here. Can you tell us about yourself and how you became interested in the field of occupational therapy?
Thank you so much, Dr. Dugleen, for allowing me to be a guest with you today. And thank you so much to Dr. Tomiko Faison as well. So what led me into occupational therapy, I feel like a lot of us went through this route of figuring out what we wanted to do, especially when we were in high school. So I knew I wanted to work in a field where I wanted to help people and also be in the healthcare field. So I have a background in dance, so I knew I wanted to incorporate movement in whatever aspect of a field or practice I wanted to go into. And all thanks to my mother, she actually told me about going into physical therapy. So I had my heart set going into the PT aspect to the point where I even did shadowing at the local hospital. And I loved what the PT was showing me, all the ropes about what they do and how they conduct their sessions. So I had my heart set applying to different PT schools. Unfortunately, I was not accepted into PT programs, but the school that I attended going to, which was Quinnipiac, I was accepted to their psychology program instead. And also wanted to do something in psychology. I just didn't know what exactly. Also, my mother has a background in psychology and sociology, so I wanted to incorporate that in whatever I was doing eventually down the line. So it just so happened that I believe I was on my way home during, I think it was Thanksgiving break, and I came across a current OT student at the time. So her and I, we were just talking, sharing, and I was telling her basically my whole life plan of what I wanted to do in PT, and I wanted to work with children. And she basically sold OT to me. So she mentioned, well, you know what? When it comes to working with kids, kids don't really like working with PTs. And I said, what? I didn't know this. And then she also told me that basically when you're working as an OT, it looks like play and you're tying in play with, you know, looking at psychology, looking at sociology, sciences, all of the arts basically connected into one. And when she said that to me, I said, wow, like that sounds amazing. I was so intrigued. Yet that was the first time I heard about the OT field. So I was meeting up with my mom in the city. And here we are in a cab ride going toward her job. And I told her, Mom, I want to go into OT. And then she looked at me. She's like, what is that? So I told her, I don't know, but I'm going to look up the curriculum as soon as I get to your job to see what the curriculum is at the school and just take it from there. So basically, I looked up the entire curriculum that my school offered, and I felt like it was love at first sight. So what I did that following Monday, I ended up going to my academic advisor, my psych academic advisor, and I told her, I don't want to do psych anymore. I want to go into the occupational therapy program. So she said, okay, no problem. So she basically like signed me up to the OT program, helped me get that connection. And I was able to go into the OT field from there. So what ended up happening was I basically had to catch up with the rest of my cohort. So I had to take some courses during 2 summers in a row in order to catch up with my cohort and to graduate on time. So I took some science courses at the local community college here to me, and I took some online courses at the time, which is not how online courses are set up now currently. It wasn't as seamless, but I ended up working out and I was able to graduate on time with my cohort. So I was so excited because the program was a combined bachelor's and master's degree program. So I did not have to apply to a separate school, take the GREs or anything like that. So it was a 5.5-year program and I was done. And I was so excited. I felt like it was one of the best decisions I ever made.
Well, we are thankful for that student, for that advisor, to getting you into our amazing profession, and happy to have you dedicate your skills and talent to that. Now, you also are an entrepreneur. So I want to talk about your entrepreneurial and leadership endeavors. Can you tell us about your current roles, including what attracted you to them, and what did it take to get you there?
Yes. So my current roles, I am a OT entrepreneur. I decided back in 2017, I wanted to go into independent contracting. At the time, I did not know what I was signing myself up for, to be honest with you. I was working as a geriatric OT in skilled nursing, and I was basically a floater at the time. So I came across one of my colleagues and she overheard me mentioning about eventually wanting to work with children. So she brought to my attention about working in early intervention. And I honestly didn't really see myself working with little ones at the time, but I knew I didn't also want to work in the school setting. So once she brought to my attention about early intervention, she gave me a contact. So I reached out to them and they were able to set me up with working with them as a contract. And then the following year, I was able to sign up with another agency to contract with. And I've been with both of those agencies ever since. And then once 2020 hit, we all know what happened then, I felt like I had to reevaluate what I wanted to do when it came to better serving my clients. I noticed that a lot of the clients that I was working with, families and their children, were from very diverse backgrounds, from basically people of color backgrounds. And with me living in Jersey City, New Jersey, which is the most diverse city in the U.S. when it comes to languages spoken in the household, religions, all those aspects. I kept coming across a lot of families where the children were either diagnosed with autism or they haven't received the diagnosis yet. And a lot of the parents, they were, you know, a lot of confusion going on, a lot of maybe misunderstandings and things of that nature. And for them to be able to see someone who looked like their child to provide services for them, I was able to give that deeper connection and deeper understanding in order for them to have some type of sense of community in a way, for them to have that way of knowing, oh, this is someone that looks like me and my child. So they're able to have that relationship or better understanding where someone who does not look like them, who's a practitioner coming into their home, not necessarily having an understanding of different nuances within their culture, within their community. So I wanted to be able to bring that essence, basically, working with families privately. At the same time, since 2017 up to 2020, working with these families, I had a lot of families who kept asking me closer to when the child was aging out of services in early intervention, if I can continue to see their child. And I kept suppressing the idea, like, no, I can't do it. I don't know if I'm able to see the child after they're 3 years old. But I felt like I was stopping myself. I felt like it was also like imposter syndrome that was kicking in as well, because I never worked with children after that age of 3 years old. So once 2020 came, I just decided to reevaluate what I wanted to do. And I just put my foot down. I said, you know what? I am going to start taking on clients privately. So I was able to hire a business coach, basically, who was a PT, in order to walk me through how to start a mobile practice. So that's what I ended up doing. And I've been doing that ever since. And so that's what I'm doing for the time being, along with having the Occupational Therapy Entrepreneurs of Color community. I noticed that when 2020 occurred, I was connecting with a lot of other OTs who looked like me or who are non-white. And I noticed that there was a trend that people were also starting their own businesses too, in whichever practice area that they were, that was a part of their setting, basically. And by connecting and networking with them, I realized, I don't think we have a group like this on social media. So I decided to create my own community, the Occupational Therapy Entrepreneurs of Color. So I am basically like the moderator. And then I also have the online conference as well that happened last year in 2022. So that's what I'm doing right now for the time being as leadership aspects. But to finish answering your question, I feel like from childhood, all of these different leadership qualities have brought me to where I am today that I've learned. So I have a background in dance. So being a performer on stage, it brought a lot of like discipline aspects, a lot of leadership qualities that I carry to this day. Also, I engaged in a lot of like DEI matters and different organizations in school. So attending a PWI, I didn't really see so many people that looked like me. So I wanted to make sure that I attended. It was a part of a lot of different multicultural organizations. I was a member of Black Student Union, for example. I was their secretary. I was a part of the hip hop dance team on campus, and I was a co-choreographer and the co-captain at the time. So I felt like I wanted to bring a piece of home in New Jersey to where I was in school, of that whole diverse aspect, and bringing that on campus so I can still continue those further connections with other students who looked like me, who were experiencing the shared experiences that I was experiencing at the time, for us to all connect. So even growing up in the church as well, there were a lot of leadership qualities that I engaged in. I was actually the youngest, they call it the senior warden. So that's basically someone who was like the lead board member of a church. So I was the youngest one and youngest African-American at the time to hold that position. I was what's called the lectern intercessor. So that's the person who is reading during the church services. So there were a lot of different like firsts that I accomplished in church. So a lot of those qualities and characteristics is basically what led me to the number of positions and leadership roles where I am today.
Thank you. Thank you. And it does sound like being a person of color has really impacted your entrepreneurial and leadership roles and journey, because in our field as occupational therapists, if you look around, they're about 5% are Black and very few persons of color. So it sounds like that's something that propels you to look around to meet that need and really perform. And as I say in my TED Talk, when we talk about that term imposter syndrome that just needs to die altogether, we have those skills, so we don't need to succumb to that. And you draw on things from the past. You draw on your knowledge that you've learned, your experiences, and you just go out there and make it happen. So I'm happy to watch you grow and blossom. And I've seen you on social media and the conference. You kicked that off and it was attended. People came out of there saying great things, and I'm happy to see you continue with that. But I want to shift the conversation now to talk about challenges. What challenges have you faced as an entrepreneur and leader of color, and how have you overcome them?
There have been some challenges that I've experienced. I feel like one of the main ones is currently being a student and also working and also running a mobile private practice. So I feel like starting a mobile practice while you're a student is not for the faint of heart. It's not something that I would recommend, but if that's something that is near and dear to someone's heart in order for them to take off and to do that, then by all means, do it. That's a challenge so far because I have to set basically boundaries and cutoff time. So there's basically a cutoff time of how many patients I can see or how many kids I can see in a day. And then once a certain time comes, that's it, because I have to carve out that time in order to work on my capstone or any other projects and things of that nature that I have to take care of. Another challenge I can say as well is basically being your own boss, because when you're your own boss, you have no one else to report to but yourself, right? So being able to even tackle that as well. I live by my calendar book. So I basically write down every single thing that is taking place during that week from like the week before. And what I typically do is that usually the day before a session, I reach out to all the parents and families just to confirm that we are still on for the session the following day. Along with that, I'm also writing in any due dates that I have of different projects and assignments. All of that is keeping me in order with whatever I have to carry on throughout that week in order to continue on with the week after next and so on. So these are, you know, a couple of challenges, but at the same time, I feel like it's still a work in progress because time management is interesting. And especially when you are someone who works for yourself. So being on top of that time management is really key. And I feel like that will always be a work in progress for me. I'm not 100% perfect at it, but I feel like there's no such thing as being perfect. So it's okay. I'm also learning to give myself grace along the way.
Yes. Yeah. So having that balance is key. Setting those boundaries and grace. That's big, because we are our worst critics sometimes and need to take a moment to appreciate all that we are giving, all that we've accomplished, and even consider you might not have done XYZ, but it's okay. It's okay. We're always a work in progress. Definitely. Thank you for that. That's good advice. And I want to specifically ask you, what advice would you give to therapists of color seeking to go into entrepreneurship and leadership positions?
I would say go for it, because we already naturally have these talents and abilities that no one else exactly like us has. And at the same time, whichever client population that you want to tap into needs you. So whatever that you are sitting on, wherever that idea is, don't continue to just sit and sit and sit on it, because it's better to have it done than for it to be perfect. And this is coming from someone who is a recovering perfectionist. As me being a Virgo, anyone who knows of someone who is a Virgo, anyone who also knows of someone who is an Enneagram 1 as well, we are naturally hard on ourselves, but we're also the kind of persons who are wanting to be helpers and to be the doers of different projects and tasks and whatnot. So being able to just take into consideration that you are needed and you will always be needed, and whoever is that client population that you want to seek out to provide services for, honestly, you may not even have all the answers for however you want to help them. And that's okay. I feel like it's all about being able to show up and being your most authentic self. And by being your most authentic self is how people will be able to respond better to you, and not coming across as being the know-it-all in whichever area that you want to practice in or to work in, because it's okay. You don't have to know all the answers. I remembered when I first applied and was accepted to my current post-professional OTD program. And our professor basically told us, even after you graduate and you have your doctorates, you're still not going to have all the answers. So I told myself, oh, great. Here I am going for my doctorate and I'm still not going to have all the answers. I don't know how much that's going to sit well with me, but it's a learning experience. So I'm happily welcoming and accepting of that. And it's perfectly fine and okay to feel that way. So just go for it. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish, don't sit on it.
That's great. Go for it. Put it in the action. Don't just sit there and think about it, trying to make it perfect. Just do it, right? Just go out there, be your authentic self and make it happen. Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Now, you mentioned you're working on your doctorate degree and you're just about finishing that. So what's next for you and what are your professional goals?
Oh, my goodness. I have so many. So it's to the point now where, unfortunately, I am sitting on some of these ideas because I want to make sure that I finish that degree in order to carry on the next steps of different projects. So I definitely want to disseminate my capstone. So I can't speak too much on what it is, but of course it's on occupational therapy, entrepreneurs of color. And that's basically what the topic is. But I definitely want to disseminate it because there is no specific research on that topic. So I want to make sure that I can disseminate that, but also in the future, disseminate other research topics that are similar to that as well, because I want to make sure our voices are heard, our lived experiences are shared as well. And to have that research available to anyone who is looking into becoming an entrepreneur who is an OT of color. I'm also looking into implementing basically play groups, outdoor play groups for parents through my mobile practice. So this would be for children 5 and under, but it's also a way to encourage some type of social skills, but then also them learning about different developmental skills as well with the parents, also for the parents and the caregivers to connect with one another, and also for the children to connect with each other as well. So I'm looking towards that. I would love to continue with having any type of guest lecturing or guest speaking engagements. So that's something that's really exciting that I would like to participate in. Also consultations. So I've been receiving a number of inquiries from therapists of color, OTs of color, who want to go into starting their own mobile practice. So that's something that I find near and dear in my heart. And at the same time, I know that there are so many other practitioners that are doing the same thing. But I feel like, again, that's also tapping into the uniqueness and the authenticity of that I share with others. So I want to make sure that I want to have something specific to the occupational therapy entrepreneurs of color. Also being able to provide another occupational therapy entrepreneurs of color conference later on this year. So I'm looking into October of 2023. I don't have a specific date yet, but when I do, I definitely will be sharing that on social media. Anyone who's also a part of my email list will know, and anyone who is also a part of the private group that we have on Facebook too will be informed about that date as well. I'm probably leaving off a few things, but for the most part, that's a lot of what I have on my to-do list after I graduate in May.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that. And it seems that you will be definitely busy. Research is my passion. So definitely share that information. It's valuable. And how can we support you in your current and future roles and endeavors?
Yes. So you can follow me on social media, which is at Maynard Milestones. So just about every Thursday, I drop a Therapy Business Thursdays Reels. And that's basically along the lines of anything in relation to someone who is a OT of color who is running a mobile practice or a therapy business. So I do that. And that's also my way of also connecting and networking with other therapists too. So there's that. There's also on Facebook as well at Maynard Milestones. On LinkedIn, I am, you could put my first and last name, Patrice Maynard. You can find me on LinkedIn there. And so, yeah, so these are some of the platforms that I am a part of. I typically share anything that I am doing in, along the lines of business or professionalism on any of those platforms. So that'd be a great way to connect with me. And I typically am able to reach out via the direct messages, the DMs. So I respond pretty quickly. So you will hear from me if you do reach out in any of those platforms.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as we close out, I just want to ask, is there anything else you'd like to finally share with our audience before we go?
Yes. It's been a pleasure being here with you, Dr. Dugleen. Basically, when it comes to being a therapy entrepreneur of color, we are such a unique community and group of folks. And you know what, when it comes to the point of wanting to go into a leadership role or going into an entrepreneurial role, it's a big step, but I feel like it's an important step and milestone. And it's not something to basically not shy away from. So when it comes to stepping into these type of roles, you want to make sure that you're putting yourself out there where, like I mentioned, that you are very authentic as possible and to be able to let other people know how much that you have to offer to the different communities that you want to connect with. So definitely make sure you put yourself out there, even if you're naturally a shy person or an introvert, but how else are people are going to be able to know what type of services that you provide? So if you're not talking about it, no one is going to know. So make sure that you talk about what you are doing. It's not like you are basically boasting about what you're doing. You're just naturally sharing with people what you are doing.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today, talking about what you're doing. And I just thank you, Patrice, for this interview. And I want to thank you all for listening. And don't forget to follow. Until next time.